following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship St. Pete in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
Good morning. We are so thankful you're joining us for our family reunion sermon online today. You can access our sermon with notes as early as 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings and or join us in person for our outdoor Sunday celebration at 9:30 a.m. If you have an underlying medical condition or fall within the age group listed as most at risk by the CDC, we encourage you to continue joining us online for our Sunday celebration. Our new creations, Children's Church Weekly Gospel for Kids videos and lessons, will continue to be available on Saturday, so you have time to prepare in advance to share each week's lesson with your children. Our church website continues to be the best place for you to visit for updates, online giving, and frequently asked questions. Please be in prayer for us as we journey through this season together in the Lord. We would love for you to fill out an online connection card and let us know how we can be in prayer for you. Thank you for listening to the announcements. Let's prepare our hearts to hear what the Lord has for us today.
Good morning and God bless you. It is truly a privilege to be able to share God's word with you this morning. The title of the message, or our subject this morning, will be A Christian Response to Hardship, which is most appropriate in our current context. But before we go any further, would you please join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, and we commit ourselves to you today. Truly, you are good, and so it is our privilege and our honor to worship you, to exalt you, to lift up your holy name. And I pray, God, that by your Spirit you would take these words and minister to the hearts of your people. And Lord, if there's anyone within the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you would do the miracle that only you can do, that you'd bring new life, that you'd capture the heart, Lord God, that you'd bring repentance. I'm praying for saving grace to be extended by your Holy Spirit through this morning's message. I'm also praying, God, for healing grace. If there are folk who are physically ill or who are dealing with emotional issues or levels of anxiety, I pray, God, for your peace that passes human understanding to guard our hearts and our minds today. And Lord, you again, Father, you're just good. And you're faithful, and we trust in you. And so this time is committed to you for your glory and for your honor, Lord. So be exalted in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now we are in the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter, and we're going to be starting with verse 22 on this morning. And while you're turning there, by way of introduction, it's important to note that the letter of 1 Peter is written in around 63 or 64 AD. It is written by the Apostle Peter, who most church historians believe was the leader of the early church. We know in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 9, the Apostle Paul names Peter among the three pillars of the church in Jerusalem. So here we have a leader among leaders. We have a pastor among pastors. He is writing to a group of believers who've been scattered, both the Jewish and Gentile believers. And the date of 64 AD provides us with incredible information with regard to the context of this letter, because we know that in 64 AD, Christians were encountering intense suffering and hardship under the bloodthirsty rule of a Roman emperor by the name of Nero. There was a wave of intense, and I mean intense, violence and persecution that was directed at the followers of Jesus during the time of the writing of the Epistle of 1 Peter, which means, for me at least, that this letter is very relevant to us today, as we too are experiencing a time of unprecedented hardship and suffering with the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. So there are several observations that apply to us from this passage this morning. And so by God's grace, let's go ahead and explore the Word of God together. It says in verse 22, Peter says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Speaking here to believers who are in the midst, again, remember, of great suffering and hardship, Peter says what? He says that obeying God's word purifies the soul. Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth or to the word of God. And the word purify here means to cleanse from defilement. So our souls are cleansed through obedience to the truth. And remember the context here, in the midst of suffering. You know, it's one thing to obey when things are going well, to obey when the world comes crashing down around you. That is another. As it's been rightfully said, we learn our greatest lessons not on the mountaintops, but in the valleys. You know, suffering and hardship has a way of curing us of our self-reliance. It has a way of reminding us of our utter and absolute dependence on the grace of God. I mean, I just recall Paul's thorn in his flesh, you know, and how that thorn in the flesh was given in order to keep Paul dependent and reliant on that great grace of God. Well, I had a treat this past Thursday. I received a text message, and it was from Miss Helen Morrison. And Miss Helen doesn't know this, but when she texted me, I was actually in the middle of praying over this message. I had a copy of the message on my lap. I was just praying and seeking God's face, and a text came in. My phone kind of lit up, and I looked over and saw it was from Miss Helen. So I went on to read, and I'll tell you, God is, he's a wonderful God in how he uses vessels to communicate and to encourage each other. He uses us as the family of God to encourage. And he used Miss Helen because this is what her text read. And I quote, "When God leads through valleys of trouble, his omnipotent hand we can trace. For the trials and sorrows he sends us are valuable lessons of grace." Lessons of grace. So there's a silver lining, even in the midst of our suffering, especially for those, and particularly for those who obey the truth in the midst of suffering. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. Here are the words of the Apostle Paul. And I could almost imagine him saying this to us today here in St. Petersburg, Florida. He says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction," and I have to chuckle when I see light affliction, because we know all the hardship and the persecution and the suffering that the Apostle Paul went through. And yet here he's referring to it as our light affliction. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Amen. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Peter then goes on to say, "Love one another earnestly," and you can circle the word earnestly, "from a pure heart." He just told us about the purity of heart and how to purify your soul through obedience to the word of God. Now he's saying from this pure heart, he wants us to love one another earnestly. Keep in mind, he's speaking to Christians who on one day may be together and the next day they may lose a member of the body to violent martyrdom. So these are folk, again, who are accustomed to loss, at least on this side of eternity. These are folk in the throes of intense persecution. And here Peter says, in the midst of this, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Once again, the context is in the midst of suffering. And that word earnestly is a powerful word. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 44, the same Greek word is used. And we're looking here in Luke at the event at the Mount of Olives, where Jesus is betrayed and arrested. Eventually, of course, we know he's going to the cross. But right prior to his betrayal and his arrest, we have this verse, and I'm going to read it to you. Luke 22 and verse 44, it says, "In being in agony, he, Jesus, prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Amazing. Same word, same earnestly here as in 1 Peter. And in the case of Jesus, he's praying earnestly or so intensely that he actually is sweating like droplets of blood that are falling to the ground. What Peter is saying here is in the same way, with the same level of fervency, of earnest, of intensity, that Jesus prayed on the Mount of Olives before his betrayal and arrest, with that same level of intensity, I want y'all to love one another from a pure heart. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of persecution, I want y'all to love each other. And I want y'all to love each other earnestly. Now, many of us within the sound of my voice would affirm that, you know, hardship gives you a greater appreciation for the people in your life. Unfortunately, there are so many people that we've inadvertently taken for granted. And sometimes it takes a season of quarantine or social isolation to remind us of the immense value of having brothers and sisters in Christ, of having loved ones who care about us and who we love. You know, some of us may not fully appreciate the people we share life with until, unfortunately, they're gone. And yet the words of Peter ring true. So let's commit ourselves to remembering these lessons. Again, another, I guess, silver lining in the midst of a pandemic, that we are called to earnestly love one another from a pure heart. Amen. And let's go on. Verse 23. He says, "Since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you." So here we have Peter quoting from Isaiah 40 in the Old Testament. He's reminding us here of the fleeting nature of temporal things. He says that human life and material things like grass and flowers, he calls them perishable. In other words, they wither and fall. They're here one day and they're gone the next day. In contrast to that which is perishable, he says there's God's word, or his promises, his character. And God's word, his promises, his character, those things are imperishable. In other words, they are eternal. They last forever. And so to the suffering Christian, here Peter is reminding us to embrace the eternal, to embrace the imperishable word of God. There's nothing more valuable in this world. There's no amount of money or material wealth that can match the value of the Word of God, that can match the value of the character of God, that can stand up to the value of our relationship with the Lord. The poorest Christian who possesses the eternal promises of the Word of God is richer than the wealthiest person in this entire world. And Peter says that to folk in the midst of hardship in the midst of persecution, in the midst of suffering. He's like, you know, these material things, even these struggles, the things we hold on to identify ourselves, the things that we unfortunately set up as idols that we value so much. These things are fleeting. They're here one day and they're gone the next. But he says the word of the Lord, God's word remains forever. In chapter 2, verse 1, he goes on to say, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So in light of the fleeting nature of these temporary things, Peter's calling us to put away our idols, throw them away, cast them away, to put away our sin. And he just names a few: malice, which in the Greek means ill will towards somebody else. Deceit, which of course is deception. It's lying. Hypocrisy, which is an interesting word in the Greek. It means the acting of a stage player, basically playing a part or wearing a mask. Envy, which in Greek is jealousy. Slander, which clearly in Greek is backbiting and gossip. He says these are all symptoms of self-obsession. These are all sins that you and I, we should cast off. We should put away, he says. And we learn, by the way, I don't know if you have, but I know it resonates with me, that hardship and suffering can be used to reveal the hidden sins of our nature. What better time to evaluate our hearts than during a time of hardship? What better time to say to the Lord, search me and see if there's anything in me that is offensive to you, than a time of international pandemic? Again, what an opportunity, a silver lining in the midst of these hard times, in the midst of our suffering, because we're called to cast off these sins and we're called to embrace new life that we're going to find here in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, like newborn infants, long for the spiritual or pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. So here Peter is calling us to go back to the beginning, back to a childlike faith, an intense longing for Jesus, an intense longing for his word. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, where Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, the wonderful benefit of longing for his word is that according to this scripture, it says it will cause us to grow. It says that you may grow up into salvation. So his word will cause us to grow even through our trials, even in the midst of a global pandemic. This is a promise. Actually, the Lord says, taste and see, which means experience it, you know, come and experience this new life. And here he says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Verse 4. It says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If there's one lesson learned through this season of social isolation, when churches have been forced to meet virtually, the doors have been shuttered, if there's one lesson to be learned, it's that the church of Jesus Christ is not a building. The church is not a set of programs. Peter says here that we are living stones that comprise the temple of God. You know, scripture says that we are, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The church is a people. It's not a building. It's not a program. The church of Jesus is a people. We don't go to church. Wherever we go, the church goes. We are the church. We are a spiritual house. He says here, we are a holy priesthood. We should be a church without borders. And by that he means we should bring Jesus wherever we go. Wherever we are, there the church is. Verse 6, it goes on to say, for it stands in scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. Very interesting here. We have Peter affirming to these persecuted believers that they will not be put to shame because they've built their lives on the cornerstone, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of our security. Jesus is the hope for our future. Jesus is the only foundation, the only firm foundation that can withstand the storms of life. And it's interesting, by way of observation, remember he's writing to a church in the midst of suffering and hardship, a persecuted people. It's interesting to note that hardship often reveals the foundations that we build our lives upon. You know, trials and crises real quick will reveal what your life is built upon. And this is a reality that distinguishes those of us in Jesus from the rest of the world. While others rage against the hardships that reveal the futility and the emptiness of selfish living, we, on the other hand, we can rest assured, the scripture says, that we will not be put to shame because Jesus is our cornerstone. Listen to the words of Christ in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49. It says, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when, not if by the way, but when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. It had been built on this firm foundation. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke, again, when, not if, the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So one more time, hardship will often reveal the foundation that we build our life upon. And what foundation have you built your life upon? Have you built your life upon the rock, who is Jesus Christ? If not, I encourage you to do so. There's no more secure, steady foundation, firm foundation than Jesus. And finally, we come to the last two verses of our message this morning, verses 9 and 10. And they read, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Hallelujah. Once you had not received mercy, but now, praise the Lord, you have received mercy. Here, Peter concludes this section by reminding us struggling believers that we belong to him. We are his possession. We are God's people. We have received mercy. And there's no amount of hardship, there's no amount of suffering, there's no trial that can ever, that will ever take you from his hands. You are his, the scripture says. And not only has he called us unto himself, he has commissioned us, it says right here, to proclaim his excellencies. I love that in the ESV version of this scripture, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So not only is Peter affirming the fact that we belong to him, that we're God's possession, that God has been merciful to us, that we've received his mercy. And again, remember, he's speaking to a people under immense pressure and struggle and hardship. So these words must have been like cold water to a thirsty soul. But he goes on to say that you have been called all of these things. You've been called unto himself, and he's commissioned us in that calling to go into a dark and hurting world and to let his light shine, to be his trophies, to be his messengers, his ambassadors, that we might declare the excellencies or proclaim his excellencies. What a wonderful thing. Yes, hardship, finally. Hardship can help clarify your calling. When you go through struggles and you have to evaluate and you've been broken down and weaned from self-reliance and your eyes and your focus is set on him and on his word and your heart's been purified, it's amazing how the calling of God, his mission, his heart for the lost begins to clarify in your heart. Your heart becomes like his heart. Your desires begin to align with his desires. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so that becomes a passion for us. Let me close with John chapter 4 in verse 35. It says, again, the words of Jesus, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest." Lift up your eyes and see. Amen. A Christian response to hardship. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness in speaking to us, and we just rest in you. Again, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would move and minister according to your great purpose and your wonderful will. And we yield to you. We submit to you. We want to be where you are. We want to work where you are working. We want to, Lord, be used of thee to bring you glory. So Jesus, we commit ourselves afresh to you even this day. And we trust that when the dust settles and we're no longer in a season of pandemic, that God, we would not lose sight of these kingdom truths that you teach us through your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.